As for Andorra, she was born in the afternoon less than 2 months after her pregnant mother stumbled into the parish of San Julia de Loria, the southernmost settlement of that principality that so neatly divides France and Spain. Newly 19, Andorra's mother arrived on foot with her younger sister, a bottle-shaped girl who many mistook for a mule. She arrived bearing all their luggage on her back. This was typical of a girl who had decided that loyalty would be her eternal trait. It had been this loyal girl who had helped her beautiful sister hide her scandalous condition from their family. Their various ruses had been truly clever, but no farce lasts forever. One morning, their grandmother walked into the ornate bathroom just as Andorra's mother was stepping from the bath. Only recently, a man in America had learned to weld porcelain to iron. And because of this genius, the girl's olive body was a sharp contrast to the stark white of this imported clawfoot tub. With her grandmother at the door, nothing could save her. Eleonor Noguera didn't even have a towel. There was nowhere for her protruding belly to hide. Eleonor made no attempt to hide the name of the father. Until recently, she and her loyal sister had been tutored by an intelligent youth who had been called home to attend to his father's death. Everyone had seen the attraction between the tutor and his eldest pupil. No one was surprised when, on the day he left, Eleonor flooded her pillow with tears. But now, just weeks later, that protruding belly had proved the tears had not been the sorrow of unrequited love. Her father was a captain in the Spanish Armada. Obsessed with the new, that clawfoot tub was only one of many wondrous imports from around the world. He was still a man of certain traditions. As she prepared for dinner on the day of her discovery, Eleonor trembled at the thought of her father's wrath. Yet she was determined to endure it. The captain had taught his daughters the value of sailing through storms. She went down to dinner with her chin held high, but her father barely met her gaze. Dinner was held in an opulent dining room that boasted several tall windows overlooking the garden. Eleonora had barely stepped into the room when her father pointed through the glass to where the dogs tore at their mutton by the base of a mint-colored hedge. "You have acted like a dog," he said. "Now you can eat with them." "You don't sail through a storm by turning back at the first crack of thunder," thought Eleonora. As calmly as she could, she claimed her usual seat and asked for her father to pass the salt. Captain Noguera did, but not in the way she would have liked. He flung salt in her eye and struck her across the face. "It will be a great miracle if I don't strangle you in your sleep," he said. "And it wouldn't be a crime. You are a shame before God." Eleonora looked across the table where her grandmother was slurping her soup. The woman's expression announced she was forever on the captain's side. She had exercised all maternal instinct when it came to her granddaughters, for they both reminded her of their mother, who had abandoned the family shortly after giving birth to Eleonore's loyal sister. The story was that she had fallen in love with a famed aviator who had whisked her away in a hot air balloon. "The sins of the father passed to the son for 3 generations," her grandmother said. "But the sins of the mother pass on as well." With 4 months left to her pregnancy, Andorra's mother was locked inside the house, and everyone knew that if she survived the birth, she would be sent to a convent. Everyone also knew that if the baby survived the birth, it would certainly be drowned. The captain suffered his little children, but he brooked no bastards. Fortunately, the young tutor hadn't disappeared. He had continued to write to Eleonor ever since he had returned to his home in the southernmost settlement of that principality that so neatly divides France and Spain. Each letter was poorly disguised as a lesson in literature. In fact, they were lessons on love. As an intellect, he had the poetry of Petrarch and Shakespeare on his side. He could also quote at length from the many novels and plays of Lope de Vega.